The one issue that sort of unifies everybody is the fear of a nuclear-armed Iran. With that said, how do you believe yesterday's speech in Washington helped or hurt Benjamin Netanyahu?
I think it very clearly breaks down into three groups. You have the pro-Likud, that's his party group. For them, it was a historic speech. You know, they felt great. Great seeing an Israeli prime minister cheered by the whole U.S. Congress. And, I mean, everybody, even his detractors, say that he's an amazing speaker, at least as good in English as in Hebrew. So for them, it was a home run. For people supporting his main opponent, Isaac Herzog from the Labor Zionist Union Party, they say, you know, it didn't achieve anything because the Obama administration isn't going to listen to his viewpoints on this anyway, and it hurt relations with the United States maybe really badly. And they also noticed that 60 congressmen weren't around, and there, you know, the applause was split between Republicans and Democrats at times. And then the last category, which we don't talk about as much, is, but you made reference to, is the two-thirds of the seats in the 120 seats in the Knesset, 70 to 75 seats, which aren't going to be with either of those two parties, and which will be the kingmakers. And most of their supporters of those parties care about socioeconomic issues, housing costs. They care about the foreign policy stuff, but it isn't necessarily how they're going to make their vote.
It's amazing in democracies how often swing voters who are not ideologues will end up determining the election, and who carries those swing votes makes an enormous difference. And that's true here in the States as well as it is in Israel. We are talking with the Jerusalem Post columnist Yonah Jeremy Bob. The issue of whether or not this speech was a domestic, whether it was the United States Congress, John Boehner in particular, meddling in Israeli politics, is certainly a controversy here. But it's not uncommon for other world leaders, including American leaders, to lecture the Israelis on how they should conduct their policy. We don't have them, do we?
Yeah, oh, no, look, I think that definitely American leaders have told Israel how it should be doing things, have, you know, without putting a formal peace plan on the table. There have been several times where President Obama or Secretary of State Kerry have said, you know, this is the direction you should go in. You should accept the 67 lines, the 1967 lines referring to where the border was between Israel and the Palestinians in 1967 with land swaps or on other issues. I think anyone who says that nobody dips into the other side of domestic politics isn't being entirely honest. On the other hand, you know, I think even Netanyahu's people would say that if he had known what a ruckus it was going to create, it's not clear that he would have gone ahead with it.
There's reports that some campaign aides, strategists from the Obama team, actually have come to Israel to help Netanyahu's rivals. Is that true?
So there's a group called V15, Victory 15, and there do appear to be some, at the very least, ideological connections, let's say, between Democratic operatives in the United States and this group. There were even some complaints filed against them. To date, none of the complaints have come through. Some of them were actually already dismissed in court. So it's not clear that anything actually was done inappropriately. There's, you know, sort of ways, loopholes that you can do things in an activist way as long as you're not advocating for a particular party, you know, sort of be issue focused. And, you know, there are also Republican operatives who have been advising the Netanyahu campaign. So as long as people are staying within the letter of the law, probably it's fair game, but it does raise eyebrows, you know, if the connections are too close.
Yeah, and this happened for Tony Blair. Some of the Clinton people went over and set up a war room, a quote-unquote war room, to help Tony Blair win when he was elected prime minister of England. The issue now is, did the speech actually accomplish anything? Because the obviously, Secretary of State John Kerry and the Iranians are still going forward trying to negotiate a deal. We're told this morning, word out of Switzerland is that it's unlikely that they're going to strike any hard bargain, but more likely just a general outline that will still have to be negotiated further. So it doesn't look like anything is imminent. But is there any sense that this speech actually moved the meter in any way, or just hardened positions that people already held?
So I think the best view that I've heard on this is, in the sense of whether there's going to be a deal or not on March 31st, or at least a framework for a deal, I don't think it had any impact. The Obama administration and Khamenei, the supreme leader in Iran, have, you know, exactly what they're looking for, and, you know, whether they're going to sign a deal, they're going to stick to that. However, there's the day after, when you need to get the United States Congress to roll back some of the sanctions, right? Some of the sanctions regime Obama can get rid of by executive order, but some of them he can't. And the day after point where Congress, Obama will need Congress's cooperation, I think it could have a very big impact. You know, if you, I tried to chart out when Democrats got up, there were parts of the speech at the beginning when it was just about terrorism, everybody got up. But even the portions about parts of the deal, there were Democrats who are up there. So I think on that, it could have an impact down the road if you know, if there's a deal.
All right. Listen, we thank you for your insights. I have a feeling we'll be talking again on this very topic. Thanks so much, Jerusalem Post columnist Yonah Jeremy Bob.